I welcome you all. We're so glad you've come for the whole weekend. We trust you've had a really, really good time. And we prayed for you before you came. I looked at the list and saw people that have been here before, so I was able to call some people by name and pray for you. So again, we thank the Lord for you taking the time out of your busy lives, busy schedule, and budget to come and join us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for another day that you have said we can expect your new mercies because you're just faithful. And so we're going to walk today looking for your new mercies because that's what you've promised us. I pray for your blessing on our time. We ask that you would hide us that are presenting or up front behind the cross, because at least my personal goal is to for everyone to see Jesus and not see me or anyone else that has to present today. We want you to shine in these women's lives. We want the women to be encouraged, empowered, and for some, restored to the journey that you've called us to. Now we pray for your blessing over our meal and our time in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're going to do some things as you're enjoying breakfast because we've got limited time. So, you know, give me 1 minute before you fellowship. I'm going to put Rhonda on the spot. Rhonda Bellamy has worked with me for 5 years with Pastor's Wives. She's graduated from Dallas Theological Seminary, and her major was in women's ministry. So, right. So I've got really a gem and a jewel that God's provided. Somebody that's passionate about women. And so passionate that she took the time, in addition to all her skills and gifts that she brings to the table, she took her time with her team to make the table decoration. And I told her she's got, yeah. And I told her she's got to walk you through how in the world they did that.
Morning, everybody. Okay, I'll try to explain it as simply as I can. Basically, you want to get some cardstock. I got the how-to from YouTube, so you can look up paper flowers or Pinterest, and you need a template for the larger flower that's outside, and there's a smaller flower inside. So you just trace out the petals, cut them out with some cardstock, and you just need some hot glue and glue everything together. I started with that outer, bigger flower, the purple or the pink one, on your table, glued that together, and then put the smaller turquoise flower inside. So that's kind of how you do it. I hope that helps you. But cardstock, glue, you can find a template online, cut it out. You can get your women's ministry team together or your leadership team who enjoy crafts and things like that. It's a good thing to do together, and you can create some beautiful pieces for your events like we did today.
I want to make some announcements. I'm so happy about my friends who are getting together to have a conference in July. And by the way, all of you have gotten gifts. It's on the table right in front of you, wrapped with a beautiful bow. Yes. And in your package are these announcements, okay? My friend Stephanie Carter, she and her husband pastor Concord Church right here in Dallas, and Dr. Tara Jenkins, they pastor church in Chicago. And they're having a Ministry Mates. Let me back up. Dr. Tara Jenkins is the founder of Ministry Mates. They're having a conference in Dallas, July 11th and 12th at the Fairmont Hotel. I'd like to encourage all of you to register to be here. It's going to be a great, great time, okay? Then we have a Pastor's Wife Facebook group, The Urban Alternative Does, and I'd like for all of you that are pastor's wives to join, to get on. We've got over 700 members right now, or women. We don't want to call it members. It's not a membership. 700 women on, and they're very active in encouraging each other, praying for each other. Some women I have heard are actually meeting in states. In fact, we have an example right here. Melissa, would you stand up, please, put you on the spot. I attend her networking sessions that she has right here, Melissa West, First Lady Melissa West. Thank you so much. So for those of you who live in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, right, Melissa? Look for Melissa on the Facebook network group. And our next time is May 10th. That we get together in fellowship, pray for each other, have a meal, and we all pay for our own meals. So you don't have to put any expense on your church or your budget. It's just my desire to see women connect all across now the world. So please join that group. And Rhonda, where are you, Rhonda? How do women join?
You can do a search in Facebook, just Pastor's Wives Network with Lois Evans. And you'll have to request to join. It is a closed group, so I have to go through and approve everybody. So if you want to shoot me a quick email, let me know that you joined, or if you catch me today, I'll just get you added right away. But for that, my email address is rbellamy, it's rbellamy, like Bill Bellamy or Walt Bellamy, if you know those people, at TonyEvans.org. So if you email me, all of you who are here, just let me know that you were at the breakfast, you joined the group, and I'll get you added right away. Because there is a verification. We try to make sure that everyone really is a pastor's wife, and we get a lot of requests. So we want to make sure that we keep it strictly for pastor's wives, and we keep it safe and secure for you guys. Email again, it's R. Bellamy. Last name is BELLAMY at TonyEvans.org.
Great. As Rhonda said, we make sure you are a pastor's wife because we want to keep the group safe. You know, I don't know about you, but I've been a pastor's wife for 41 years, and I'm always looking for a safe place for us. We need it. So that's why we investigate you. To make sure we keep it safe, okay? And then I have a pastor's wife website, and it's loisevans.org. And on there is lots of material, articles, blogs. Rhonda does blogs. There's a safe place, and that's for senior pastor's wives. So we also investigate to make sure you are a senior pastor's wife before we put you in the safe place, because that's password protected. And we ask women to, if you're comfortable, share your name. If you're not, come up with a fake name. Because we're not about wanting to know your business. We're wanting to be a part of God's solution in your life. So if you're not comfortable using your name, that's okay with us. He knows your name. Well, Rhonda, am I missing anything? There's a whole lot of ministry on there.
We also have a newsletter, a monthly newsletter. So if you go to the website, you can sign up for that. We just send out a monthly encouragement just for you, pastors' wives, and any sort of event that we have coming up, you'll get that in that e-blast also. So if you go to the website, the homepage, you can sign up for our monthly newsletter and any events that we have coming up. How many of you saw our webcast at the end of March Facebook Live? We had Mrs. Evans and Sarita Jakes and Jackie Pugh. We're on Facebook Live. Good. So we have another one coming up July 27th, and it's going to be called The Real View with Crystal Evans Hurst, Mrs. Evans' daughter, and she'll be talking about her new book called She's Still There. So you have that card in your little packet. You can just make sure to follow Mrs. Evans on her fan page. Follow Mrs. Evans, Facebook.com, and you'll be able to catch that live web event.
And it's going to be live, all right. I'm interviewing my daughter. Woo! And she's the real daughter of the daughters. So she's already sent me her manuscript and told me, Mom, you got to read my book because you got to ask me these questions. I said, Crystal, oh my goodness, but it's going to be real. What we emailed you and told you, the session's going to be a little different. I think you've had some great teaching this weekend, don't you? I think it's been amazing. Just amazing. So I don't want to give you more teaching. My heart and my passion is for women to connect. And for us to do like Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpening iron. It's so important, and I looked at it in different versions. The King James says, iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. We need to sharpen the countenance of each other. The Amplified Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the influences another through discussion. And so that's what we're wanting to do today, so you and I could remember what Habakkuk 3:17 through 19 says. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. I don't know if that's where you are today, but here's what we need to rejoice about. Yet, I will rejoice. When you get up every morning, do like I do. When I feel that cold floor, I'm like, ooh, I'm up. I'm breathing this morning. So rejoice. Make it a habit to rejoice in the Lord, even when there's nothing to rejoice about. Just make it a habit. Just tell the devil, you're under my feet, and I'm getting up this morning, and I'm going to find something to rejoice about. That's why Lamentations 3:23 is so real to me, that regardless of how I feel, he is faithful. And I am going to see new mercies today, okay? Well, let me go on. I'm getting a little carried away. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Joy is internal. So get your joy on by staying in God's word. Don't just study God's word for everybody else so you can get up and teach it. That's good for those of us that are teachers. But make sure the word is internalizing and the Lord is feeding you for yourself. Have your devotions every day. If it has to be twice a day, look, we need him. All right. The Lord God is my strength. Not maybe is your strength. He is your strength. Whether you feel it or not, he is your strength. He will make my feet like hind feet or hinds feet. And he will make me walk upon mine hind places, my high places. Okay? Well, I went a little deeper. I'm not going to take the whole time because I really want us to communicate with each other today. I wanted to know exactly what a hind feet is. I always thought of the hind feet, but a hind is a kind of a deer. It's a female deer. When I saw a female deer, I was like, hello. That can place her back feet exactly where her front feet steps. She's got that much precision. And we were just talking about the fact that I think women have the gift of discernment, intuition. I think that's her gift. I think we can really place our left back feet where our right back feet just jumped. Because Habakkuk says we can. Not 1 inch is off. She's able to run. This is the hind feet deer I'm talking about. She's able to run with abandonment. In times of danger, she's able to run securely and not get off track. Wow. That's who you are. Yes. That's what Habakkuk just said. The phrase hind feet is used in the Bible to denote an ability to overcome difficult challenges successfully. In verse 33 of Psalms 18, write that down, which reads, he maketh my feet like hind feet. And again, that's a type of deer, okay? Hind feet. And sitteth me upon high places. A deer, the hind deer, can move quickly and easily across the rocks and mountains, leaping from one rock to the other without losing its footing. I kept going. I was like, hello, this is getting better and better. This female deer can do all this stuff. Thus, the biblical verse means that God has inspired his believers and empowered us to overcome the obstacles which confront us. God will give you the ability to overcome a challenge that has been affecting you or worrying you with ease and success. Because that's what he's promised you. Sometimes, Don Lauren says, we have to encourage ourselves. Sometimes we got to look in the mirror and tell ourselves all this stuff. And I'm going to use this in my notes one day when I need to talk to myself. I'm going to look in the mirror and tell myself, I am a hind deer that can leap through rocky situations, leap through challenges, leap through mountaintops with precision. Regardless of what folks are telling me, you and I, we can. So what we want to do now with our Q&A forum is remind you of who you are. I know we're dealing with situations in our ministry, our families, children, finances. I know. We live a real, real life in ministry. We're real people too. But I want to remind you today of who you are in Christ. You have all that you need to leap through the situation you're dealing with now. You have the empowerment. You have God's strength. You have the agility of a hind deer to leap forward and walk as what he says we are, overcomers. Some of you have just started your churches. Some of you have been in church ministry for a long time, and you're like, when will this pass? I'm here to tell you, as you're going through life in ministry, this too will pass. Hold on to his unchanging hand and keep pressing. But I really believe the session we're going to have now is what encourages us to keep moving forward with the hind feet that God has given us. So we're going to start our open forum, all right? And I think we sent you guys an email, because I want us to be iron sharpening iron today. Now, as you ask your question, and as you stand to answer your question, don't mention your name. Because we're taping this session to share it in the Facebook closed group. We're not going to go social media. But we don't want you to mention your name, because you might share something that you really don't want out there, even in the closed Facebook group for pastors' wives, okay? But we wanted to tape it for those who couldn't come. All right? So who has the first question? Anybody has a first question? And then, what we're doing is somebody here is answering the questions. I'm not answering all of them. Because we have probably 300 or 400 years of ministry in this room. And so we want to hear from each other again, because I really believe iron sharpens iron. And I really believe you can leave here and every day leap with your hind feet. All right? First question. Anyone? Anyone who feels led to answer, please do. If there's need for prayer, please do that. Just do me a favor. Just keep your answer really precise and as short as possible, so we can get as many questions in as possible, okay?
I'm realizing that there's maybe a fine line between admiration and ambition. And there's a particular women who they would try to glean from you, you know, as your their leader. And it's important also to impart in that person. But discerning and noticing certain attributes where the person may mimic you, present certain things that you have said as their own, somewhat of a plagiarism to a degree, and it's a little uncomfortable for me. It's more than uncomfortable, and I've addressed it in certain ways. I've even been direct, but I see that the habit and the pattern is still there. So I was just wondering if anyone, you know, has had that experience where you have a protege where it's important for that person to be knowledgeable and empowered because they're dealing with congregants, but at the same time, you know, encouraging them to walk in their own identity and not yours, you know. So I just wanted, you know, someone to explore that, you know, am I having a problem, or, you know, is it broader than myself?
Anyone? Yes.
I think what's happening, and there are a lot of ladies here who can probably comment on it as well, but it sounds like she has an esteem problem herself. finding out who she is. And so maybe if you can help her find out who she is, and also maybe esteem some things in her that would have her, obviously she's looking at you, and she's seeing others who are looking at you and esteeming you, and she wants that. And so maybe that's her way of trying to find esteem.
Okay. Next question. How have you been building your women's ministry? What types of things have you been doing? Yes.
Good morning. We've done vision boards to help, you know, the ladies pull out what they'd never thought they could do. Just we had all the material and things and made it like a conference for our ladies. And even young ladies, the little ones had a ball doing it. So once they were done with their vision boards, which you know, were very creative, we laid them at the altar and, you know, prayed with them. And they wept, cried, because this is stuff that they have been wanting to do. And they're still talking about it to this day. And this was in February. And so we just try to continue to, you know, come together on a quarterly basis and just, you know, hash out things that's going on with us.
Anybody else?
I would say if you are a beginning women's ministry, one of the things that we did was I met with each woman. We're a small church, but I met with each woman one-on-one just so that they could get to know me and I can get to know them. And you never know how much that really means to them, because sometimes I've heard stories in the past where first ladies were often, you know, out of touch with them. And so I wanted to them to get to know me and me to get to know them. But be careful. Set boundaries from the very beginning so that they'll know from the very beginning, well, hopefully, how far that they can go. Some will test the waters regardless of how many, you know, the boundaries you set. But just do that in the beginning, and it will help you to get to know that person a lot better.
Great. Someone text. Yeah.
Our women's ministry, we meet once a month, and sometimes it's in a classroom setting for devotion. But this year, for the very first time, we are going on a two-day retreat. And so the women are all excited. Actually, it'll be the weekend, the first weekend of May. So remember us in your prayers.
Thank you. So my husband and I have been senior leaders for a year and a half now, and I actually found myself in an interesting situation where I had to essentially dismantle the ladies' ministry to actually build it, because there was a culture issue where, unfortunately, the first lady before me didn't have good relationships with the women. And so I was walking into a situation where there was hostility, there was dysfunction, there was a lack of trust. And so I had to build a team and tell them that our job, number one, was to restore love among the ladies. And so what we did really was secondary to why, and I had to make sure that love was leading the work. And so one of the things we implemented, well, two things. One is Love Grams. This was where my team and I wrote letters, note cards to every woman in the church, letting them know why we love them, specific examples of why. Another thing is, whenever we have a gathering of the ladies, I do something called Exchange of the Roses. Every lady gets a rose, but I have them tell another lady in the room what she did to bless them and give her the rose. And the reason for that is, people go to funerals and you see flowers at the funerals, but the question is, did you ever tell that person you love them and let them smell the roses while they're alive? And so it's transformed the culture of love at our church. So, but that's what we're focused on right now.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
What we did was we established a team of six ladies. And what those six ladies do is we come together and decide exactly what we want to present to the women's ministry. We are a small church, but it has been most helpful because we have some elderly in it, we have young, and then we have middle age. So when the six of us come together and the different ideas come in, then we're getting ideas from an older person, a younger person. And then so when we present it to the ladies, we let them know what we've come up with. At that point, we were at first letting them decide whether we would go through with it or not. But we found that that was a little bit difficult because everybody had an opinion that did not match ours. So we went back and regrouped and said, okay, this is what we're going to do for the next 3 months. And we told them what we're going to do. And that has worked out much better because we find that they do go along with it, you know. But when we gave them a choice, it kind of disrupted the flow of everything. And that team rotates about every 6 months.
That's good.
Okay.
I like that, rotating the team. So you get new creativity, innovation. You know, does one more? Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like Jenny, we established a small core leadership team. And I think that one thing that we've done is we've established a First Fridays. And that's the night that our women's ministry meets. We've had special speakers, different themes. I've taught. And so as a result of that, we're starting to see our ministry come together. But the key to ours also was understanding our reach. And so we're from the cradle to the grave, amen? So to do that, you got to have all of those entities on your leadership team. So that's what we're doing.
Excellent. Does the women's ministry have to be led by the First Lady?
No.
Okay.
We have quarterly events as well, but in between the quarterly events, we have something called Girl Talk. We usually do it on a Friday night, and it's a time for the ladies to ask questions anonymously and get real answers to some real issues going on. And this last time, I asked for, I wanted the singles and the marrieds to come, but the questions were primarily for married women and what things that they were going through, and I wanted the single women who were aspiring to be married to hear what's happening, you know, in some marriages as well, so that they're not in this fantasy world about what marriage is all about.
Okay, we have a couple text questions. Yes. First one is, how do you find someone to vent to?
Mm. Woo! Come on, somebody. Yes, answer over here.
My husband and I, he's been senior pastor for 10 years now. We've been in ministry basically for about maybe 30 years or a little over 30 years. And myself personally, when I did not have anyone, another female that I could go and vent to, what I did was I stayed on my knees. And I prayed. And I trust God. And I stayed in the Word of God, knowing that what I could tell him, I could not trust to tell anybody else. And knowing that when I go to him and vent to him and really let him know what's in my heart and letting him know that, Lord, I trust you. I don't know how to handle this. I need you to help me. God is faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful to men, the pastors. Well, he's going to be faithful to the wives. He's going to be faithful to us because he does see the sincerity of our hearts. So I vent to the Lord a lot, a lot, a lot. Only pastor's wife really understand pastor's wives. And but God have blessed me with someone that's in the ministry as well. She's also a pastor's wife. And God has blessed me to where I can vent to her, and the only person she will vent to is me. So we have each other. God will lead someone to you, or God will lead you to someone, but you have to trust him to do so. You have to trust him first. And I just wanted to share that with you.
Amen. And hopefully God will lead you to somebody here. Yeah.
In 2001, I had the best blessing in the world as a First Lady. That was my first time attending the First Ladies Conference, so I thank Dr. Evans for that vision, and that changed my life when I came in 2001. And I met another First Lady from Wisconsin, and to this day, she is my best First Lady friend, and we vent to each other. And it's because that first day, we just locked with each other, and we've been best First Lady buddies ever since. So I thank God for her, and of course, you know, we pray to God first, but you still need that physical person.
Yeah, you do.
And I thank you, Dr. Lois, for starting that, and that was the best day of my life when I came in 2001.
Amen.
Amen.
We've been ministering in the church for 10 years. It's been a great blessing to serve the Lord. In these 10 years, I could say that the last 2 years had been very difficult patch in our ministry. And during those time, you know, I really needed a friend. I really needed somebody to whom I could run. But it was so difficult to find somebody inside the church, because I felt anything you say to the church, trusting somebody, it's going to come out one day, and it's not going to be a good experience. The place I used to went is in the presence of the Lord, as dear sister said, you know, that's the best place to cry and pray. You know, for me, I used to went before the Lord, turn on the music and praise and worship, and I'm just in the presence of the Lord, crying and worshiping the Lord, not just saying my problems to the Lord, but just worshiping in midst of all that I'm going through. Music has really impacted me a lot during that time, because you pray, you vent, sometimes you are talking, but when you're listening to the music, I could see the Holy Spirit just coming down and the Word of God. You know, I can tell you, dear sisters, you don't need anybody's advice, but the living and active Word of God that has ministered me so much. And I always hear Urban Alternative, and the messages of Dr. Tony Evans has really lifted me up so many times. And I feel only Word can change and comfort us. And I thank God for that.
Woo! All right. I think my sister was preaching a message here. Praise your way through. Prayer. Praise your way through. Stay in God's word. Is that what I think I heard? Woo! Come on now. Who's next? Oh, you got Rhonda has a question.
How can you spend time with your husband when he's so busy? We plan date nights, but they don't happen.
Say it again, Rhonda. Ask it again.
How can you spend time with your husband when he's so busy? We plan date nights, but they don't happen.
All right, just real quickly, what I have done over the years is I show up in that office I talked about yesterday, and I tell the good pastor that I'm hungry. We're going to lunch. So sometimes we have to take the initiative for the need we have and not wait on them to take the initiative. It's okay if you plan your own date and you make it happen. Mother's Day is coming, and I am deciding where I'm going to eat. I've already told him I'll call reservations into Nick and Sam's. We're going 5-star. So sometimes you have to do it. Don't wait. Okay? All right. Somebody else has a better answer.
No, actually, I echo what Dr. Lois has said. We've been in the ministry for 21 years, my husband as senior pastor, and we make dates, and I heard the question, and the person said that the dates weren't kept. Well, I agree with her. You have to make it happen. If he gets so busy, then you go to the office, or you call and said we had a date at 6 o'clock. The only way we could stay married, we've been married almost 37 years, is that we had date night for myself, as well as we have two children, and my husband kept the dates with our children, a girl and a boy, and it was a night for each one of them as well as they grew up. And then when they got older, he blended together. But you have to make them keep it, because they do get busy, so you take the initiative and say, hey, honey, you know, you said that you were going to do thus and so, and make it happen.
Because, make it happen.
You know, your needs have to be met as well.
Yes.
And it keeps a balance in the family. I know it has for us.
Yes, and don't wait until your budget changes. McDonald's will do. Tony and I started around our kitchen table, put the kids to bed, put some candles on, and eat whatever I cook. And it might have been ground beef and rice because we had no money. So don't wait for some season in your life to start dating. Be creative. And then one time he was trying to be funny, but I didn't think it was funny. He told me to get dressed to go to dinner. So I got dressed, you know, whatever I had. And he drove me through McDonald's. And he saw my face. I was trying to be the supportive wife, you know, like, thank you so much. But he saw my face just droop, and he said, Lois, I'm just kidding. We're actually going to dinner. My point is, and he is a real, loves to kid a lot, too much. But my point is, don't wait until you supposedly have the money to date. Find creative ways to do it.
I just wanted to piggyback off of what both of you said. Sometimes my husband, we go on a date night, date lunch. Mm-hmm. We don't just wait at night because sometimes there's something going on. And we are a small church as well. We've been in almost 20 years. And sometimes we just can't do it at night. We have things going on at night. But there are times that he's a construction worker as well. So when he has a break, we take a long lunch. And sometimes we take two or three lunches in that week. I love it. I'll take the lunches anytime if I can't get a dinner date. But it used to be we would go on every month we would go and stay at a hotel away from the house. Mm-hmm. And that's how you can get them away. I like taking them out of the country, but, you know. No, that's okay. But I'll settle for the lunch when I can't go out of the country.
There you go. Yes.
Well, good morning. What I do is my husband had a Google calendar set up. And what that does is his calendar comes to my phone. And so I will pencil in my own time. And so I advise you, if your husband has a calendar, technically, have it come to your phone. And you pencil in your own date so that he cannot deny it because you've already penciled out that time.
Very good idea.
Yes. I just want to speak briefly to the young pastor's wives with children. We have 5 children and no money. So you just come, you become very inventive. You don't have to go out somewhere. The kids knew they were going. My kids always joke now when they get together because they were in bed before the sun was. They would be in bed and they would see their friends walking down the sidewalk. But you have to be on a schedule, and they would go to bed, and then my husband and I could have a quiet time together. Just make a date out of whatever you can. Because the society that we live in, you know, we have a tendency to look for things and want more than really what we need in order to make our lives as God wants them to be. So, enjoy your children because they won't be little forever, but enjoy your life and make sure that if you have children that you're getting ready for them. I think Sister Evans and Dr. Evans spoke of this yesterday, for them to get out. So that I never felt any emptiness, because as we were raising our children, I was preparing to have time together with my husband. So now we can just get up and go whenever we want to. So, you know, it's a lot of things you have to think about in your life. But if you have children, you know, have time with them, but then make time with your husband. If it has to be midnight, if you've gotten in bed and you forgot something, give them a little kick. Just do whatever you can to keep the life in your marriage. You know, whether it's a date or not, it could be just a loving kick instead of a date. Do what you can do, and don't think that it has to be a lot in order to enjoy each other.
Yes. You know, I love what you said, all of what you said, but then do what you need to do to keep the life in your relationship.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for your benevolence, longtime Shiro, Dr. Evans. I don't know about your stories, but there's so many PK first lady pastors. And sometimes you can grow up watching your parents' ministry turn from famine to feast. then you get called to a ministry that has to begin as a famine, but you're used to living in the feast. I say that because God gives us the grace to live on a lot and a little. And so I married a PK pastor. He married a PK minister. And I remember him saying, "Your parents lived high on the hog, but we don't have your parents' budget." So I'm trying to adjust to being married to a woman who has champagne tastes on a water budget. We started off as broke seminarians. And so my parents have a flourishing ministry, but we're new, not to ministry. We've been there 40 years, but new to the establishment of our own. And I remember we made a faith decision. He wanted to go to seminary for the second time after we finished seminary the first time. And we made a faith decision for me to work in ministry while he went to get his second seminary degree, which I praise God for that beautiful stretching season that developed the legs of our marriage. But in that time, we lived half of the week together, and half of the week he lived in seminary. And the Lord said, "You have to think of a way so you all can reconnect as newlyweds when he comes home from school." And I said, "But how? Because we can't afford elaborate vacations." So I wanted to share with someone what worked for us 10 years ago. You don't have to wait for the Ritz-Carlton experience to connect with your spouse. I found Priceline.com, and now name your own price. And there are probably things that were invented since we began doing this, but I wanted to encourage somebody that has champagne taste on a water budget. I found that on name your own price, you can determine that you want to stay at a 5-star or 4-star hotel, and you can bid. And one day my husband, I said, "We need a getaway," and he said, "We can't afford it." And I said, "Let's bid on it." And I put 5-star hotel, and I said, $100, and they said, "Reject it." And he said, "We can't afford to go away." And I started praying silently, "God, I know we need a vacation. You can do it." And I said, $50, and they said, "Accept it." And that began our own commitment to getaways. And we stayed on the East Coast, all up the East Coast, for $50 a night at Hyatt's, Hilton's, and Westin's. I will never pay regular price ever again to stay anywhere. And I wanted to tell someone that really needs a vacation that thinks that you have to be rich and wealthy to get away, name your own price, Priceline.com. It blessed my house, and you can have a 5-star experience wherever you are.
Okay, this question is going back to what we talked about, the First Lady. If the First Lady does not lead the women's ministry, how can she select a lady who will still have a heart, keep the vision, and not try to make a kingdom unto herself?
I think it's very helpful if, and a lot of churches may do this a little different, but we had a women's leadership team. So there were, I think you said, there were 6 women or a few women who kind of led women's ministry, which anytime any event or things that were suggested came through, those women would look at it and see if it was something that was productive and something that would bless the women. And so I think if there's somebody that's overseeing that, those women as a team can oversee and see who it is that's going to lead the women's ministry, I think that would be helpful. Instead of just throwing somebody out there without, you know, looking into who they are and what their expectations are.
Right. Mentoring them, coaching them, walking with them until you and your husband are comfortable that they're on our team. You got to be so careful with that. A lot of people say they're on our team, but their actions take people away from your vision. So I think you got to walk with them for a while. I'm blessed that I have my daughter, Crystal, running our women's ministry for me. You know, I just sign off on speakers and budgets. And because she's such a free spirit, keep her in line a little bit. But even though she's my daughter, I still kind of walk with her. So she's in tune with my vision. Yeah. So.
Yes, I totally agree with that, walking with her. And I've only been in ministry for 5-6 years. And I thought it was important to have a women's ministry leader just to allow me to do administrative things. But What I did the first year was basically, I likened it onto I'm driving. You sit in the passenger seat and just follow. And the following year, I allowed her to drive sometimes with me directing her for the year. And the following year, she had to then submit like a lesson plan for the year. But each year, I would cast a vision just based on what God was telling me, just so when I transition off for her to drive on her own, she'll know that this is still something that I have, I guess, accountability to, for, and that she would always, you know, fall under my leadership, so to speak. And I also have an administrator who is committed to attend all the meetings and to ensure that the vision, you know, continues in a straight line. And we have quarterly meetings just to, you know, look at that, because, you know, it is very important for you to know who's taking care of what's yours. So
good. Tips, and let's move on to another question. Tips on how to balance working outside. Some of us have to work to supplement the income in your home. How do you balance working outside the home and contributing to the ministry or working at the church? How do you balance that, those of you who have to work outside of the home just to supplement income?
That is my life. I have a full-time job where I actually travel a lot with my job, so probably 3 or 4 days a week. I live in Florida, but I'll be in Atlanta or New York or D.C. or somewhere with my job. You have to make the decision about priority. So God, husband, family, church, job. That's my priority. And so I recognize that there's a season where I have to lean into ministry. Like right now, I have to lean into ministry because we have to develop leaders to the point, the question earlier about having someone who's ready to lead, that's my role, is leadership development. And so once you make the decision that you're going to lean into ministry and that's your priority, the rest will fall into place. But it has to be a decision. I was struggling hard for probably the first 3 or 4 months of our ministry because I couldn't find balance. But it was when God said, first of all, you hadn't made the decision about what your priorities are. And so once that happened, then I was able to balance. And you have to learn the word no. That's hard. Because when you're a doer and you're a giver, you automatically want to give yourself freely. You have to learn boundaries. And you have to say, you know what, when 4 o'clock comes, I'm done with work. Now I need to transition to family or ministry or whatever. But that's how you have to balance, is through right. Boundaries and priorities.
And I think learning to say no gracefully is teaching our congregation, but priorities. Yeah, I've had to say no many times. And sure, people's feelings were hurt, because they really needed the Lord, they really needed answers, but I had 4 kids to feed. So I would say, would you join me for dinner? We've got spaghetti. And as soon as I feed my kids and get them to bed, we'll talk. It worked for some people, it didn't work for all. And so I was not, you know, welcomed everywhere, but you know what? I was committed to my family. So priorities were important. But what I learned later on in ministry from the same women that were not happy with my choice of counseling, that they learned from me. They said, you know, we weren't really happy with the fact that we had to eat spaghetti and come to your home with kids running all the place. But now that we have our children, we're following your pattern. So mentor and teach as you gracefully say no, because you're holding on to your priorities. Question?
What would you recommend pastor and pastor's wife do if the ministry demands places undue pressure on them and their family?
I think the priorities that were mentioned, being able to gracefully say no, and I think also as a pastor and his wife, being clear or coming to that place, because I think as pastors' wives, we have different seasons, and sometimes there's such clarity on where we should be within ourselves, and then other times we're kind of like, am I doing enough? Should I be here? Should I be there? But being willing to establish within yourself what is required of me by the Lord and what is not, and putting those priorities in order, which means we have to be okay if people don't like us for a moment or someone's unhappy. And sometimes the enemy, I feel like, likes to tell us,
well, if you don't do this or if you don't do that, the ministry's going to fail. Or these people are going to leave. And so sometimes we run around like chickens without heads trying to make everyone happy. And the pressures of the ministry begin to distort our priorities and the vision. So having those priorities and being willing to know them. And I think the priorities begin with something you said when you were encouraging us, Dr. Lewis, of what's our day like when we throw our feet off of the bed? Are we aligned to the Lord? And are we having that devotional time? And the same thing for our husbands. And then our family priority. Are there things established in our homes that we know we have dinner together as a family around the table or lunch together consistently, regularly, quantity and quality? And making sure those types of pillars are in place. And then ministry, because in ministry too, people come and people go, and sometimes you pay a price that you weren't meant to pay for people who God hasn't even really aligned with you for the long haul. So keeping those things in mind is important.
Very good. Thank you.
And something that I've learned is we are learning to recognize what's from God and what's from people. The Bible says you become all things to all men to win a soul. He didn't say you become all things to all people because people want you to be that. So we have to learn the balance. And no is a very wonderful word when you learn to use it gracefully. And the Bible says that your yea be yea and your nay be nay. And we have to learn not to be wishy-washy. If I say no, I mean no. If I say yes, I mean yes. And we were raised in a church where the preacher and the first lady did everything. But I love my husband and he loves me. We want time together. I don't want the demands of the church demanding my time with him. And so we have to learn the balance that is it from the Lord or is it from people? Because people will run you out of the church. People will ruin your marriage. People will get in the way of raising your children. So there has to be a boundary between ministry and family, and you keep church as much in church as you can. And one thing that we do when we enter our home, that's home. Yes. Nobody can come into home. Now, there are emergencies, but as far as you can have us when we're at church, but when we enter that home address, that's off boundaries to the church.
Yes. Your home is your sanctuary. I heard somebody say that we should make sure we have a soft pillow at home for husbands to come home and rest his head on. And for those of us women that are full-time at the church as well, our home is our sanctuary, and you decide what you allow in that home. Okay? Yes, another comment. And then I'd like for you to think of some encouraging word you can give to pastors' wives that are new.
Like me.
Very new to this experience or this journey. I'd like for you to think, maybe we can get two or three women to just give an encouraging word to the women. And again, keep it brief, okay? Yes.
Okay. I think I want to say something on the fact that if I'm doing it right. If I'm actually doing what I'm supposed to be doing, right?
Okay.
Now, I'm newly married.
Okay.
My husband's church is in St. Louis, Missouri. I'm from New York, total New Yorker. I'm totally established, have my career at home. I have everything at home, totally independent, have my own, you know, real estate.
Yes.
My children, two children are grown. Okay. His three children are grown. Mm-hmm. All the children are grown. I have two, he has three.
Right.
Between the five children, they're all grown. They have their careers, living on their own, doing very well. So actually it's just us, the two of us. Now, his last wife passed away. She passed away suddenly. He had a wife prior to her, and she passed away. Right. Now, and so that's a dynamics in itself. And then, okay, me coming from New York, going to Missouri, in a couple of months I'm gonna do early retirement. And I'm gonna go with my husband, and I'm gonna, you know, I am the first lady in the church. Presently, I go every month, and I have started a women's ministry, and we meet once a month, And I came up with a bunch of ideas on things we can do, because prior to that, they did not have a women's ministry. They didn't have a women's ministry with the previous wife, and there was some friction with that wife, from what I'm understanding. And what I'm understanding is the congregation was waiting for a first lady. They felt he needed a first lady. They wanted a first lady to help the women in the church. So I came up with all kinds of ideas on things we can do. We can go feed the babies in the hospital, especially in our, the lowest economic communities. We would go and feed the babies. We adopt a grandparent. I had a couple of other ideas on how we could all work together. Ultimately, I want them to take ownership of it. And like you said, and I'm just in the background saying how we can do things. And these are all things that I've seen in New York. I'm just bringing ideas from New York to St. Louis. Nothing brand new off the top of my head, not rocket scientists or whatever, anything like that. But what I did notice that every time I have a meeting, now prior to me, my husband has sisters. He has five sisters. All five of them are members of the church. His first wife family is in the church. His second wife family is in the church. So now mind you, I'm from New York.
This sister needs some prayer.
Amen. I do. I really do. But glory be to God, I am who I am, and I am true to myself.
Good.
Glory be, based on my background as an only daughter, I had three brothers and that whole gamut. So I'm pretty grounded.
Yes.
I have my moments, but I am grounded. I know who I am. I know I'm a child of God.
Yes.
I know I mean well. I do what I can do for folks. But there's one particular sister, no matter who, the women in the church they're on board. Hands down, they're on board with me. I can see it. I can feel it. But every time somebody raises to volunteer with me or to do something, she shoots it down every time. No, she can't do that. She can't. No, no. And I'm like, wait a minute. Be easy. It's okay. Let her. No, she always want to come up. I said, no. Don't do that. Let her speak. Let her have her say. So now because I stop her now, mm-hmm. now everybody in the family sees me as a tyrant or something's wrong with me. So now how do you deal with something like that?
Someone has had this experience, I'm sure. So please, everybody's looking at me like, no, yeah. No. Would somebody stand and pray for my sister? Somebody stand and pray. Please.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. First of all, I want to say peace be still in the name of Jesus. Peace be still within yourself in the name of Jesus. Peace be still in the name of Jesus. Holy and righteous Father, God of all, Heavenly Father, this is your daughter. Lord God, whom you have called. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we believe that your eyes are opened upon her. Your ears are not closed, nor have you turned your face from her. And, oh God, we come to you together, touching and agreeing. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, that she shall live, she shall rise, and she shall not die. Yes. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, you are her comforter, you are her help. By your Holy Spirit, Lord God, by your word, she is more than a conqueror. And Lord God, you have not allowed her to be put in the position where she is for her to fall, for her to be defeated. So God, because of your loving kindness, because of your tender mercies, because God, you are faithful in all things. Lord God, we come to you on behalf of our sister. She is the first lady. She is her husband's wife, the pastor's wife. Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, you and you alone, Father, will change the situation. We'll make things all right. We'll give her the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding and the power through your Spirit, God, in knowing how to handle all the situations, all the difficulties that she is, Lord God, confronted with. Oh God, in Jesus' name. Lord God, just like you have been faithful to the prophets, Heavenly Father, they have been men, but I know in your word there have been women that have been prophetess. You have been faithful to them. Lord, be faithful to our sister. We come to you together, God.
God. You have made ways and delivered us from many things. Do the same for her in Jesus' name. Through your faithfulness, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God, we know you're able. Lord, we thank you. Lord God, see her through. May your peace, Lord God, Heavenly Father, overflow inside of her. May your joy be her strength in the name of Jesus. Lord God, give her, Lord God, the wisdom. Lord God, remember, Lord God in heaven. Let her know how to answer every man, every woman, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Bless her with the mighty spirit of endurance. Help her to hold on, Lord God. Hold on, Lord God, not to give up and to know, Lord God, that help is already on the way. Lord God, help her to walk by faith and not by sight. Don't let what she hear cause her to tremble, but Lord, bless her to stand still and see your salvation. All glory. Hallelujah. Thank you. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. God, we thank you. And Father, we count it as done. And we say you do all things well. So we bless you and we honor you. And our heart, our soul, Lord God, we love you. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Woo. Amen. Thank you so much for that prayer. And now we want to make sure there's communication happening, and you guys could connect if you'd like to continue the flow of communication, because there's a lot of dynamics, a lot of questions in her question. Any advice to pastors' wives who are new? And we'll take just three, okay?
Well, mine is to basically everybody. It's just a safety. I'm going to be real brief. Anybody can find out where you live, even if your number is unlisted. All they have to do is just type in your address. So what you do is you go to whitepages.com, okay? Go to whitepages.com, and you can actually remove your address, even though you're unlisted. And we had a situation real brief when somebody came to our house because all they did was just key in our name. And I thought because we were unlisted that they couldn't find us. So I've got some steps. If you want to see that, you could take a picture of it.
We're addressing the question, just some advice to people early in the ministry. First wives, and I'm 7 years. Wife, first pastor's wife, and pastor as well. And when we started, it was quite, I had to find my roles again. But what helped me was I had to become comfortable in my own skin. I had to redefine. I knew who I was before I got there, but when I got in all those different roles, all of a sudden I was like, and lots of tears. And half our congregation is full of his family. And so it was difficult. But really, I think I had to go to the mirror, talk to me in the mirror, tell me who I was in Christ, and make a decision to be comfortable in my skin and remind myself who I was in Christ and not to apologize for it. Guard your heart, 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 and release, release, release. Whatever you do, you must take care of that hurt and that wound and that criticism quickly, quickly, because if you don't, it's going to muster, it's going to fester. Get rid of, empty yourself, get refilled, like this lady said, but continue to stand in who you are. And if you have to reposition yourself, just do that. Know who you are in Christ and that God has placed you there, and be determined, I shall not be moved. And shake it off. You got. I have a saying to some of my ladies: you need to shake your booty, shake it off.
Hey, let me say this really quick. I've been a pastor's wife for 43 years, so it's been a lot of this and a lot of that. But let me give you something just really simple that will help some of your needs be met and will help keep your home. Your husband is a pastor and he's a man. Men need four things: food, sex, respect, and silence. So if you learn that, food, sex, respect, and silence, You need to be prayerful about it. You can't get in on everything. And you and the sex comes in, you take care of that, then you have to worry about somebody else doing it. That'll keep down his temptations, the temptation that comes toward him, because it's going to be there. And you respect him as the man. And when he comes home, you love on him. You tell him how good he is. You tell him he's a wonderful preacher. He's a wonderful man. If he's a father, he's the greatest father in the world. Sometimes we want to make it hard when there's just some simple things that we can do. You just make sure that some things are taken care of, and let's not go live. Sometimes we go too deep. Let's not get all deep. Look at what's on top. Those top needs really things that need to be taken care of. And food, sex, respect, and silence. Simple.
Did y'all write that down? Is it in that order? All right. One more sister, and then we'll go to networking. Say it again. In that order.
Well, because if you feed him first, that takes care. But the only time my husband has gotten upset with me is that when he was hungry. So I've had to feed him, and he was all right, like a big baby bear. And then if I, after that, how good was sex gonna be if he was already upset because he was hungry? And that respect and that silence comes in. You know, a lot of times we need to pray more than we talk. You know, we women talk more than men anyway. But sometimes, and we need to talk, but a lot of times we need to be silent, just quiet.
Oh my goodness.
Silent. Woo!
I would recommend that you please take seriously your Christian education. Have a very close relationship with the Lord. Become a theologian along with your husband. Sometimes we're the ones who can help him to improve, enhance what God has already deposited in him. So whether you're taking informal Christian education courses to find out, you know, are you going to go further, or are you going to get a degree, do that. Be invested in your Christian education. It will take you so far, so deep with the Lord. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just be set to be devoted to the Lord.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us. God bless you.